This video summarizes one of Dr. Edwin Flatow's work. Sex may be hazardous to your health, 1976, a semen retention book, highlighting his expertise in the field of health and physical science. Modern beliefs promote regular sexual activity for prostate health and longevity, but this could not be more inaccurate. Dr. Flatow asserts that such beliefs destroys the dignity and the well-being of mankind. This prevailing misconceptions that sex is good for health, perpetuated by modern society, contributes to the reduction in the overall lifespan of individuals, particularly men, by nearly two-thirds of their life expectancy. Let us dispel these inaccuracies and misconceptions and join us in this video as we dig into how sex or reproduction is a step closer to death and explore the concept of semen retention as a potential means to enhance longevity, drawing insights from Dr. Flatow's extensive research. If sex is a danger to my health, I don't want to know about it, is the reaction some people will have to this book. I am firmly dedicated to the proposition that the right information has never hurt anyone. When a person is armed with the right information and facts, it enables him to make intelligent decisions. So why would one sacrifice sex and follow the natural path of semen retention? Let us start with the saying that sex is not a necessary function. Physiologically, the sex act is not in the same category as other natural, normal bodily functions such as eating, breathing, sleeping, defecating, or urinating. Of course, we cannot live without any of these bodily functions being constantly and regularly performed. But millions of healthy individuals have demonstrated that a person can live a long and healthy life without ever using the sexual function. Sex is not a necessary function which must be performed regularly. The organs and glands which control reproduction are not like our muscles, which must be exercised regularly in order to function properly. Indeed, the opposite is true. The reproductive glands are more efficient and potent when given a period of rest. Man is the only animal that nature allows, in his natural environment, to perform the sex act whenever he chooses to do so. Even animals practice semen retention for most of the year, as they have definite mating periods when the female will accept the male organ. These are the short periods when the female is fertile or in root or heat. The female dog will not permit a male dog to enter her sexually unless she is in heat, which usually occurs about once every 6 months. The same pattern is followed throughout the animal kingdom. Birds generally mate about once a year or during the spring. Sheep and goats mate once or twice a year during their mating seasons. Wild pigs mate once a year, and the elephant, in its wild state, mates only about once every 2 years. Reproduction is essentially catabolic throughout the animal and vegetable kingdoms. That is, it is a movement towards death. The Pacific salmon, trout, shad, and several other varieties of anadromous fish die soon after spawning. The male drone bee dies almost immediately after copulation. Even more vivid is the sex life of the praying mantis. In his book, Love and Will, Rollo May states, "The female devours the head of the male as he copulates, and his death throes unite with his copulatory spasms to make the thrust stronger. Inseminated, the female proceeds to eat him to store up food for the new offspring." The black widow spider does essentially the same thing and has earned its name from this action. In the plant kingdom, after a plant bears fruit, it weakens and often dies. Farmers often make it a practice to prevent a plant or tree from going to seed in order to strengthen it. Most fruit-bearing trees do not produce fruit until they are 5 to 10 years old. This allows their biological force to be transformed into growth and strength rather than reproduction. This is similar to what happens to us when we practice semen retention. We allow the sexual energy to heal ourselves and improve every levels of our life. The human seed contains all the essential elements necessary to create another human being when it is united with the ovum. It contains forces capable of creating life. Doesn't common sense decree that such a vital fluid be carefully conserved rather than thoughtlessly squandered? Diet unquestionably affects sexual desire and ability, and should be studied when practicing semen retention. Meat, alcohol, tobacco, salt, spices, and all animal products such as milk and eggs increase sexual desire. For example, most meat eaters who become vegetarians will, within a few weeks' notice, a decrease in sex desire. Animal products, especially meat, contain uric acid, which irritates the joints and glands. Thus, the prostate gland, irritated by uric acid, sends a false spark to the mental processes, which stimulates an erotic response. Hence, many men find themselves sexually aroused even when there is no female within miles, while flesh foods, condiments, and liquor may stimulate sexual feelings in the mind, the performance of the body is in no way improved. An example of this is demonstrated in the tiny Asian country of Hunza, where the people are predominantly vegetarian and are still virile long past the century mark. The most virile animals are all vegetarians. Take the stallion. He can service a dozen mares. The bull's sexual prowess is legendary. The rabbit, whose reproductive powers are axiomatic, is a 100% vegetarian. Still, the myth persists that oysters, steak, liquor, etc. increase sexual ability. As I mentioned previously, stimulants increase the desire but decrease the ability. I am sure you will agree, it is far better to have the desire decreased and the ability intensified. Sensual men seeking to gratify every appetite will only receive from nature their just reward: painful sickness and premature death. When a man becomes sexually excited, either by thinking about sex or physical contact, the brain sends a signal to the nervous system, and the entire pelvic area becomes congested with blood. Blood flows into the spongy compartments of the corpora cavernosa of the male genital, expanding the tubular rods, making them rigid, while the outlet valves close so that the blood remains imprisoned, causing the penis to become swollen and stiff. Hormones are released into the bloodstream, stimulating the adrenal glands. The metabolic rate is speeded up. Sperm production increases. The prostate becomes engorged with prostatic fluid. But foolish man has other ideas. Recreation, not procreation, is his objective. A single episode will do no harm, but imagine if this erotic stimulation of the body occurs every hour of every day. It is like turning in a false fire alarm 15 times a day. How long can a body stand this abuse without rebelling? How can a man like this learn to discipline his thoughts? First, unnatural stimulation of the desire must be lessened. There is a commercial interest in promoting self-indulgence and overindulgence. Sexual gluttony is glorified rather than viewed with repugnance. He must learn to recognize this and fight the inclination. He must learn to steer away from erotic movies, literature, and all the other stimuli that are unnaturally causing his mind to dwell on sex. As has been demonstrated, caged animals indulge in sexual intercourse and masturbate much more frequently than animals in their natural habitat. The human animal acts similarly. Physical and mental inertia or inactivity must be avoided. So the second rule is to keep the mind and body constructively occupied. Most zoos do not feed their animal population naturally. For example, at the Central Park Zoo in New York City, I witnessed gorillas, chimpanzees, orangutans, and monkeys being fed loaves of white bread for half of their diet. Now, it is obvious that no ape or monkey in their natural environment eats a loaf of bread for his dinner. His constitution was designed to live on uncooked fruits like berries and bananas, vegetables, herbs, raw nuts, and seeds. As a result of this unnatural diet, these apes and monkeys grow fat, become lazy, and either masturbate or indulge in sexual intercourse to the limit of their ability and whenever the opportunity presents itself. So the third rule is to eat a natural diet and don't overeat. The gland most significantly impacted by excessive sexual activity is the prostate. Nearly all functional disturbances of the prostate gland stem from its correlation with sexual activity rather than semen retention or sexual inactivity. Many people believe that prostate disorders affect only older men, but plenty of men in their 20s, 30s, and 40s have prostate disorders. Even teenagers have prostate problems. More men suffer from prostate disorders than from heart disease and cancer combined. And more than 70% of all males over 50 have already experienced some trouble with their prostate gland. At age 60, the incidence of prostate troubles in males rises to 80%. Dr. John H. Tilden wrote, "Among my patients, I discovered I had quite a number of enlarged prostates at 35 to 40 years of age, and very little enlargement in men of 70 years. The prostate, being continually engorged or congested by sexual excitement, takes on a gradual enlargement of a fibrous nature. By the time middle life is attained, the gland has become a fibrous tumor. After 40 years, those who are not dead from some so-called disease brought on by such enervation and the contingent infections that are secondary are still slaves to the two grand dominating functions of the body that reign over it until they are forced to abdicate to reason, namely nutrition and reproduction. When unrestrained, these functions degenerate into gluttony and sexual debauchery. Because of this reign of sensualism, the life of a man is cut down to two-thirds of what it should be. This highlights the fact that the correct practice of semen retention, which is having pure thoughts and avoiding unwanted sexual stimulation, we increase our lifespan. As I mentioned at the beginning, the main cause of prostatitis, inflammation of the prostate, is sex abuse, excessive masturbation, excessive intercourse, prolongation of sexual excitement, or excessive prolongation of coitus can all cause a full-blown case of prostatitis. Although an occasional indulgence may not do discernible harm, but if repeated habitually, the injury to the sex organs must manifest itself. Then there was the 65-year-old man, a successful businessman in good health for his age, who after his wife died, took as his mistress a woman in her late 20s. He had sex almost daily and sometimes twice a day, and in less than 6 months had severe symptoms of prostatitis, which was followed shortly by a heart attack from which he failed to recover. He paid a high price for being a swinger. The scientists of old have put great value upon the vital fluid, and they have insisted upon its strong transmutation into the highest form of energy for the benefit of society. Mahatma Gandhi, A Statue of Semen Retention, 1959. Since the beginning of recorded history, sex and reproduction have been uppermost in man's thoughts. Ever since primitive man realized that there was a cause and effect relationship between sex and reproduction, he has ascribed sacredness to the organs of generation, or the sexual organs. Primitive tribes and savages also had very strict taboos on sexual intercourse. In a study made during the Robert Mond expedition to New Guinea, 1914 to 1918, Dr. Bronislaw Malinowski, in his book, The Sexual Life of Savages in Northwestern Melanesia, describes some of the social customs. Sexual excess, sexual greed, or forwardness is regarded as bad and despicable in either men or women, but more especially in women. There are a number of pursuits which, while in progress, entail abstinence from sexual intercourse and even all contact with women, such as, for example, World War, overseas sailing expeditions, gardening, and certain magical rites. There are also a number of conditions under which coitus is forbidden. It is suspended during menstruation and forbidden during pregnancy until after weaning. An average ejaculation is about 2 to 5 cubic centimeters of semen and contains from 200 million to 500 million sperm. Each one of these millions of sperm carry 23 chromosomes, split chromosomes, prostaglandins, genes, electricity, and all the vitamins, enzymes, and minerals necessary for the creation of another human being. In other words, it contains the life force. These sperm are produced in the testicles. Now, in many species of animals and birds, the testicles do not produce sperm cells during most of the year, since nature wants to conserve this vital substance. Usually only during the autumn breeding season does nature permit them to burst into activity, so that conception will take place in the spring, the most favorable time for growth and development of the new entity. But in man, the testicles are capable of producing sperm continually year-round. If called upon to do so, it is a self-regulating mechanism. During sexual excitement, much larger amounts are produced. Some men who practice semen retention allow themselves to continually be in a state of sexual excitation and are continually manufacturing large quantities of sperm and prostatic fluid. It is as though they were driving their car at 100 miles an hour all of the time. This, of course, is unnatural and will eventually result in physical and mental bankruptcy. Besides being a factory for the manufacturing of sperm, the testicles produce male hormones or androgens, such as testosterone. If not ejaculated, they go directly into the bloodstream and are carried to every part of the body. They stimulate the pituitary gland and creative centers of the brain. Semen is not a substance to be wasted lightly. The faster you use it, the more the body is forced to produce. Your bloodstream takes the raw materials from every part of your body, including your brain, and transports them to the gonads to be used to replace expended resources. A woman's sex life is reflected in her personality and demeanor even more than a man's. Promiscuity hardens a woman, and it is often mirrored in her facial expressions and conversation. It detracts from her natural softness and sensitive nature, making her callous and hard. While overindulgence in sex bankrupts a man's vital physical resources, in women it enervates the nervous system and causes nerve depletion or neurasthenia. Too much sex, probably more than any other factor, ages a woman in some cases, even more than it does a man. It is common knowledge that prostitutes, who work at it intensely, age quickly. Too much sex and different partners stretch a woman's vaginal and perineal muscles, leaving them flaccid, inefficient, and desensitized. The most efficient artificial methods of contraception also have the most serious, harmful side effects for the woman. Contemporary society is increasingly shaped by materialistic inclinations, wherein the pursuit of a sensory-driven lifestyle or pleasure-seeking is often regarded as the ultimate goal or purpose of existence. Scientific efforts are currently focused on exploring innovative methods within mechanical, chemical, and surgical domains to intervene in and alter the course of natural processes. Humanity must learn that the sex act is a serious matter with profound implications, which do not affect just the two persons involved, but also affect the future of the human race. We must learn that copulation is not a toy to be used for entertainment or for lack of something better to do, but that it is a profound and meaningful act. I see the barbaric and cruel practice of raising animals for slaughter, birth control pills, abortion on demand, murder, war, gas chambers, and atomic annihilation as part of a sequence of events resulting from a denial of the universal principle that life is sacred. I only advocate temperance. All sex involves a sacrifice to the body. There is a price tag attached. Whether or not it is worth the price is completely up to you.